You guys might have thought that I was preaching tonight, but I have really good news. When they asked me to introduce the speaker tonight, I thought it was kind of odd, considering he's been around here since probably the late 70s, and we all know him really well, and thankful he's willing. And Brother Dean, if you'll bring what you have for us, have prepared for us. No? No go? Okay, well, I guess it is me. I tried. How about this, Dean? Will you open us in a word of prayer? Amen. So, I'm not a preacher, so I am gonna share the word with you that I've studied. The first thing I want to do, though, is anytime I get an opportunity to be up here, I think it's really important to share the gospel. And I think so. This first part that I'm going to do is the most important thing you'll hear tonight. And then I want to take the opportunity. We know. I want to tell you guys that God loves you, okay? God loves each and every one of us. In John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And that's something he has done for us. And we're all sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. Everyone in the room's a sinner. Everyone on earth is a sinner. And Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Because we are sinners, there's a price. Our sin has a price. And so Romans 6:23, just the first part of that says, "For the wages of sin is death." That is the cost. That is what our sin cost our lives. So, but the good thing about that price is it's already been paid. Amen. Jesus paid the price. Romans 5, 8, 9 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Even though we were sinners, he did it anyway. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And then if we look at the last part of Romans 6:23, we have a gift that goes along with that, and that's the eternal life. And so the last part of Romans 6:23 says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ," or through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then Romans 10:23 says, "For this is who can be saved." You know, there's always a question. I've done so many bad things. I'm such a terrible person. This tells us, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. That whosoever is you and me and anyone else that calls upon the name of the Lord. So that is the most important thing that you're going to hear tonight. Now, the lesson I have prepared, have you guys ever heard of Stephen Covey? Anybody heard of Stephen Covey? Any business people? Any? Okay. All right. I'm kind of surprised, really. Stephen Covey, he's pretty famous for writing books like 7 Highly Effective Habits for Effective People. That's one of his main books. Okay. It's something I had to study in college. I had to memorize and learn each of the 7 steps, and be able to quote them and tell them anytime the teacher wanted to know. And so it's been a famous book that's been used by a lot of business leaders and different people throughout the years. And he has seven things that he talks to people about and tells them to use these things to be effective in their daily lives. It's pretty good stuff. If you just want to know how to be more effective in your daily life, it's pretty good stuff. But that's not what we're going to talk about tonight. We're not talking about Stephen Covey. We're going to talk about seven biblical strategies for godly success, okay? If you guys would, go ahead and be looking up Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. The number one strategy for godly success is, and this is actually one of Stephen Covey's, off of his list too, but keep first thing first. Okay, keep the first thing first. I know most of us are not very busy in our lives, right? We're pretty leisurely laid back, don't have a lot of things going on. That hey, man, listen, it's sad when I'm looking and Bentley's the one going, no, we are busy, okay? We got stuff going on. And so it's easy to lose track of our priorities. We are busy people. We tend to try to shove more and more and more into each day, and we stay so busy that sometimes we forget the important things. And so keep the first thing first. We all have things to do. We have our priorities that compete with each other. What's most important? I really need to get this done, but this is staring at me too, and the boss is putting more on me here, and the wife needs me to do this, or her husband, or whatever. And so we have to take time and decide what is more important, what's most important. And how do we decide what's most important? That becomes a problem. And I don't have the answers for all of how to line out your day. I'm not going to tell you how to put your priorities in line. If you come see me and say, this is all the stuff I got to do tomorrow, you're going to have to figure that out yourself, okay? But I will tell you that what God's word says in Matthew 6 and 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So first things first, seek the kingdom of God, okay? Part of that is initiating a conversation. First thing, initiate a conversation with God. What does that look like? That's our prayer life. That's when we're getting up and we're thanking him for the ability to get out of bed and to take another breath. It's important that the first thing that we do is initiate a conversation with God, and we talk to God. And then the next part of that, and part of that is just talking with him, seeking his will. But do any of you guys just know people that love to talk? They'll talk and they'll talk and they'll talk. Are you saying you are one, or you know people?
I know people that sometimes I
am. Oh, okay. But they talk. But then when you try to go ahead and get a little bit in, they're not hearing it because they're still talking. Okay? We're good at talking. I'm good at talking. I like to talk. But the other part of initiating that conversation is it's only a conversation if it goes two ways. You have to listen. Once you've initiated that conversation, you need to listen. You invest time in listening to God. So the next thing to do after you talk with him would be listen for a response. And, okay, I'm going to tell you, I've never audibly heard God speak to me. I know in the Bible, in the Old Testament they have, but I'm going to say if you do hear God audibly speak to you, you might need to talk to somebody about that. I don't know. I've never experienced that. And so, but he will lead us. He gives us his word, and he'll lead us to what we need to do using the Holy Spirit and using his word, the Bible, right? Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Okay. If you're already starting your day talking to him, committing to him, he's going to help you establish your thoughts. He's going to help you start getting your priorities lined out and helping you through that, okay? Those priorities will start lining themselves out. Sometimes it'll be a little more clear once you spend a little time talking with God. And if nothing else, it helps you to calm and be prepared for the day and the challenges that you're going to face. And that helps us go into the next step. Step number two is setting the atmosphere. Some of the training that I've had with dealing with people with behavior problems at work, I've had to go through some trainings. And at one time I was a trainer on dealing with physical aggression and things of that nature. And one of the things they say is you control the atmosphere. When you walk into the room, you control the atmosphere. And that's true for every person. It doesn't matter how many people are in the room. They control the atmosphere for them. And so this setting the atmosphere is something that you can do. It's not just a physical thing, but it's a mental thing also. And you guys ever walk into a room and you can kind of tell the atmosphere of the room just by looking around and seeing who's in there and the expressions and what's going on? Sometimes it's pretty easy to read, right? And so you have to set the atmosphere. And that's your attitude. That helps other people with their attitude. But when we set the atmosphere, it should be one that echoes God's affirming thoughts about ourselves and his love towards others. When you go into people's houses, if you come into our house, there's signs on the wall that have scriptures on them, okay? We like to have those things. There's different things that point to what we believe and Christ in our house. We've set that atmosphere in there. If you come into my office at work, there's a Bible laying on my desk. Not everybody can set the atmosphere at work, depending on what your job is, but as far as physically, but you can set it mentally. And if our focus is on the things that God would have us to focus on, that's how we set that atmosphere. And so Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know," I'll give you guys a second to turn there, Jeremiah 29:11. Am I talking too fast? Because I get nervous and I talk fast. Thank you, AJ. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end." Okay? He wants good things for us. And when we're setting the atmosphere, we should want good things for us. We should want good things for the people around us. To further set the atmosphere, look at Matthew 22:39. Basically, when you look at Matthew 22, verse 39 especially, it tells us to love our neighbors like we love ourselves, right? And we need to set up an atmosphere physically and mentally following those guidelines as much as possible. We want to set up an atmosphere where people feel welcome around us, where they can tell that we love God, that we're sharing that love of God with them. And that is setting the proper atmosphere. Number three. There's some of these that's hard for me. Praying's not hard for me because not only am I always in need, but I'm always generally thankful for the things that I have. And so praying's not hard for me, and that first one, the communicating with God, that's not too hard. Setting the atmosphere sometimes is, because sometimes we all have bad attitudes. Sometimes our attitude stinks. Sometimes when there's a bad atmosphere in the room, it's because of me. Okay? And so sometimes that's kind of a hard one to look at. This next one's kind of hard to look at sometimes too, because although number three is be grateful. And although we like to say that we're grateful and we're thankful, sometimes it's harder than others. We have to stop and smell the roses, so to speak. And like we were talking about earlier, we get so busy or caught up in our everyday life that sometimes we're too busy to appreciate what God's truly done for us. We rush through. I know a lot of times we have a morning prayer before we leave and go our separate ways. Kids go to school, I go to work. Artisa goes and runs her errands and does her things. And we have a prayer before we leave. And sometimes I'm already 10 minutes late for work before we ever start praying. So it messes with your mind, and you don't get that opportunity to truly be grateful. You don't take time to smell those roses, so to speak. And so sometimes we're so busy we can't truly enjoy what God's done for us. And so we overlook what's important in the long term. The Bible talks about setting up treasures in heaven, because that's where we're going. Our life here is such a short time. Even if you live to be 100, 100, 110, that's a short time compared to eternity. And so we're supposed to be focusing on the eternal. We're focusing on what God would have us to. And so we don't take time to think about those long-term things. We're all about now. And we need to take time to thank God for all he's done for us in the good times and the bad times. And so James 1:17. And Dave, you're fast. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Do you remember who Jesus is? Do you remember who God is? God is the creator of all things. Everything. He is the creator of everything in existence. And he's given us gifts. He's already given us the breath that we have in our lungs. But every good gift is from God. And the creator of the universe loves us. And he cares for our needs. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. According to his riches. He's the creator of the cosmos. He has everything. And he's going to supply our need according to his riches. It's coming. It's in the eternal, where we should be focused, right? So be grateful. No problem we face is greater than God. So, number four. This is a tough one for me. Number four. The number four thing for success here, biblical strategy for godly success, is do it today. That's a tough one. I like to procrastinate. Anybody else like to procrastinate? Why do today what you can put off till tomorrow, right? So do it today. Proverbs 6:9, which I need your teenagers to really listen to this. My son, on Saturdays especially, he likes to sleep in. And I did too when I was a teenager. So I know teenagers like to sleep in. So Proverbs 6:9. I almost feel like I should have my son stand up and read this, but I'm going to go ahead and take care of it. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou rise out of thy sleep? Okay, get up and do something. If we want to be successful, if we want to have this success in doing the godly things, the godly principles here. Get up and do something. You guys realize we're stewards of what God's given us, right? What do you guys, if you were to ask anybody what they wish they had more of, what is it? Time and money. Time and money. Time. Most people want more time. Especially those that are in the hospital, those that are sick, ask them what they want. They want more time. People that are maybe not going to see family again, what do they want? They want more time. And if we're going to be good stewards of what God has given us, we need to use our time wisely, because that is something that has been given us by God. And procrastination is a waste of what he has given us. And so to be good stewards, we need to get up. We need to do something. We need to do it today. And the other part of that, well, let's read Proverbs 24, verses 33 and 34. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. Doesn't that sound so, it sounds precious, like. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Okay? So it's not as sweet as it sounds. And God's not only given us time, but he's also, if we believe what the Bible tells us, some of us will say, oh, I don't have any talents, or I don't have any special gifts. But God's word tells us that he has given us talents to use for his glory, right? And God's given us those gifts. Other people need those to see those gifts. We need to be using those gifts for other people. That's why we have them, to bring honor and glory to God. And so we need to be using our gifts for other people to see. And we can't be lazy. We have to share those gifts. And so whatever your gift is, that is something that you can share, and you can do that today. Do it today is number four, and be a faithful steward. So number five kind of goes along with that do it today thing. Number five is complete something. We're all really good at starting stuff. I have a lot of unfinished projects. At work, at home, hobbies, in life in general, I have lots of unfinished projects. I don't know if you guys are like me. It's part of that procrastination, okay? But complete something. Anybody else do that? They start something, they don't finish it? Yeah. Sermon on Sunday morning. Yeah. You want to finish it. So I want to finish this, so I'll keep going. Completion requires commitment, okay? We have to be committed. We have to focus, and we have to have time, right? It's if we can't focus and we don't have time, we don't have the commitment, it's not going to get done. And that's why it's important to identify the actions most aligned with your God-led goals. And you need to invest your time completing those goals, those that are God-led, those that are focusing on what God would have us to do, based on the conversation we start with him every morning, right? Proverbs 12:27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. There's people that love to go out and hunt. I don't know of anybody that goes out and hunts, kills their deer, looks at it, says, oh, that was nice, and goes home. I don't know those people. The guys I know, they go get the deer and they process it out. And they might not roast it right then, but they do the work. They get it ready. And so this is talking about a man that's just too slothful. I mean, he does the hunting, but he doesn't follow through. And so The substance of a diligent man is precious, it says. You guys remember in Luke 14 where it talks about counting the cost of building before laying the foundation? I think it count the cost before going into battle. You know, do you have enough men to fight the battle? Do you have enough weapons, chariots, horses, whatever? Do you have enough building material to build the buildings? Those are things you have to do. You have to count the cost. And so, to complete something, sometimes you have to break it down into smaller steps, okay? In life, that's true, but in these God-led goals that we're talking about, sometimes you have to break things down into smaller steps and take those steps and complete it that way. You're talking about completing your lesson. He did part of it in the morning, next part of the evening, okay? He broke it apart, smaller steps, but he completed. And so that's part of those goals, is making sure that you're able to break it up. We were talking about Stephen Covey and talking about breaking apart goals and doing those things, but one of his famous quotes is, the key is not to prioritize what's on your schedule, but to schedule your priorities, okay? You don't prioritize what's on your schedule. You schedule your priorities. And that's an important thing. Because what's important to us, if we, you know, we talk about what gets scheduled gets done, what's important, well, that's what we're going to focus on. And if what's important to us is what God would have us to do and what God's leading us to do, and that growing that relationship with God, then that's where our focus needs to be. And that needs to be the priority. That needs to be on the schedule, so to speak. And so, number six, man, another tough one for me. I know you wouldn't think this. Most of you know me my whole life. I'm pretty social around everybody, but this is connect meaningfully. This is truly a struggle for me. Especially as I'm getting older, I'm less and less likely to want to be around people. I don't know. That's a confession. I know this. We're not Catholics, but I'm just confessing that the older I get, the harder it is for me to be around people. I used to be a social butterfly, you know. I wanted to be everywhere, that all the fun was going on. I was the life of the party, so to speak. I'm just really not that way anymore. I'm still going to have fun if I'm around people. And I'm going to make people have fun around me. But if you give me a choice, A or B, stay home or go, I'm going to be at home. So most of the time, my wife's really good about making sure that I know I need to be connecting meaningfully, that I don't need to isolate. She's good at that, because and she's reminded me of this more than once, but isolation and separation are not characteristics of God's way of being and doing right. Okay, they're not God's characteristics, that isolation and that separation. He wants us to be around people. He wants us to be together. Right. And like I said, I struggle. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 and 15. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? We are meant to be connected. We are better together. Okay, we're not whole without each other. In Ecclesiastes 4:12, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and threefold cord is not quickly broken. We need to make those meaningful connections. I know we talk about the different Bible studies that we do. We talk about the different what do they call them? D groups. I think's what Brother Isaac's catchphrase is D groups. Talk about getting two or three guys together and studying and doing life together, and or two or three girls or however, you know, just people doing life together and working on those things. And that's a meaningful connection. And the threefold cord is not quickly broken. We're stronger together. We're better together. We're designed to be together and to do life together. And then number seven, do something good. That's pretty simple, right? You guys ever done something good for someone? Huh? Yeah. You ever heard of random acts of kindness? That's the funnest thing in the world. I can remember times when our kids were little, we bought them some little Chick-fil-A gift cards, and they'd go hand them to people. I don't know if they're old. They may be too young to remember. They probably don't remember, but it was so fun watching those people's faces light up, you know, and just you never know what's going to make a difference in somebody's life. There's been times in my life when I've been unemployed and I've been walking out and someone shake my hand, and when I look down, I've got a $100 bill in my hand because someone knew that I was unemployed and I had bills to pay. And so sometimes blessings come when you don't expect them. And the thing is you don't know how much you're blessing somebody else, even with just a kind word or a smile sometimes is all it takes. I've seen videos on different things where someone just walked up to a homeless person, started talking to them and having a conversation, sat down with them and shared a bottle of water or something with them while they're talking. And it made their day to just have someone that would sit by them, because everybody else looks down at them and how dirty and nasty and terrible they are. And someone looked at them as a person, a God-created person, and sat down with them. And so not only does it make them feel good, but it makes you feel good, right? When you do something for someone else, does it not make you feel good? It's all good in the hood, right? All right. So a simple act of kindness can be transformational. We don't always know the impacts of our giving, but God does. And he's counting on us to show and share his love with the hurting world. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And then Galatians 6:9-10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So I'm just going to go over these seven strategies real quick, seven biblical strategies for godly success. Number one, keep first things first. Number two, set the atmosphere. Number three, be grateful. Number four, do it today. Number five, complete something. Number six, connect meaningfully. And number seven, do something good. And those, like I said, you use those things, and hopefully it will help you be successful in your life of pursuing God and his will in your life, and being successful in your Christian life. It's a little different type of lesson, but just when I seen it and I was thinking back to the college study that I had to do, I thought, there for a long time after I learned those things, I tried to apply them to my life, and over time, life got too busy and they just went out the door on that Stephen Covey stuff. But this stuff, when we're focusing on God, we don't need to let that go out the door. However we put it into place, we need to focus on God and have those conversations with him and do what he's put us here to do. Brother Ben?
Let's all stand. Have musicians come forward. We'll have a verse of invitation as they make their way.